the Department of Energy, and Badger Daylighting. So I think you guys were all sent a packet full of stuff from me. You're welcome.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah.
I know your weekends were not exciting at all, so you had lots of reading to do. So with Badger, for the last several years, Badger has basically paid sales tax and titled all of their equipment in Sublette County. They have a little office out in the desert, and mid-February or so, they sent me an email and said, hey, we've been doing our invoices wrong. We need you to give us a refund. And I thought, that's above my pay grade. I'm going to send this to the Department of Revenue. Because none of this equipment ever walked across our border, Sublette County border. So I got in touch with the Department of Revenue, and they started investigating. And what basically happened is Badger was loving our 4% sales tax, but not actually creating any taxable events in our county. So we were benefiting by having that money coming through our county, but when the DOR really dug into it, out of over 500 transactions, one of those vehicles actually came to our county. So they were kind of hiding behind our tax rate. So the department said, well, because there was no taxable event that happened in Sublette County, we have to refund them all that money. But we're going to notify all those states where they should have paid sales tax, and they can collect the tax that should have been collected by those states. Most of them, Texas, Pennsylvania, not here. Unfortunately, there is no statute that says we don't have to pay that money back, and there's nothing that says how long that money has to trickle back to them. The Department of Revenue wanted to do payments, set it up so that over a five-year period, we'll pay you back your money. Well, now Badger has come back and said, oh, well, you told on us. We want all our money now. So they called me and said, how do you guys want to pay your portion back? I said, well, I'm going to have to talk to the commissioners about that. So the total amount of taxes at this point, they've already sent three payments to Badger for $285,39.59. So $280,039.59. They've sent three payments to Badger at this point.
You mean State Department of Revenue?
Yes, the state.
For their share of the
sales. For their share. What they're recommending, because the total that's due back to them is $5,229,239.81.
Off from the county or the county?
No,
the state?
From the state. Our portion is 31% of that, which is $1,621,64.34. That's our portion, is $1,621,64.34. We have a couple of options. The Department of Revenue says that what they will do, I believe, is send the total back to Badger from the state. And we can either have that money, they will invoice us our portion, and we can either pay monthly or quarterly or yearly.
So the state's going to pay it back?
State's going to pay it back.
Over time?
Over time. No, they're going to pay it in one big chunk. We will be able to pay the state back our portion over time.
So they're going to pay ours and theirs.
They're going to pay all of it, and then we get to pay them back. And they will send us an invoice. So we get a check every month from the state for sales tax, usually right around $500,000 or so every month. And that's revenue that we use for operations. And so they won't take it out of the portion that they allocate to us. They will send us an invoice that we will pay through accounts payable. They just want to know if we want to be billed monthly, quarterly, or yearly. How do we want to pay it back?
What account will it come out of?
We talked about probably that reserve account for having to refund taxes.
I'd be in favor of paying the whole thing back, get it over with, because it's all gonna, it's just gonna hurt us anyway,
right,
down the line. We're gonna have to pay it.
How much is in that account, Mr. Chairman? Sorry.
Well,
I think 1.2, something like that.
So pretty much depleted.
Not even enough.
Right.
1.6.
It doesn't matter. You still gotta have to pay it back.
You can do a budget transfer.
Sure.
Because they did go back 3 years. By statute, they could go 3 years. And we've been taking their sales tax for a lot longer than that.
So does that mean they've got all these vehicles licensed for free for the last 3 years?
No. They paid sales tax on all of them. If you look at, you guys had gotten a copy of the letter, the Department of Revenue letter, and then there was all this garbly goop that you probably couldn't read because it was too small. This is what that, so these are all titles and sales tax that we took for the last 3 years for a total of this one that doesn't apparently include all 3 years, $3,233,000.
But they're going to have to go back now.
They're having to pay all of these in a different state.
Which
we're
going to have a higher tax rate.
Absolutely.
They were actually looking at us,
yep,
eager to pay because
absolutely,
we had a much lower tax rate than,
yes,
Texas.
And typically they were paying between $14,000, some of them were up as high as like $32,000 per unit just in sales tax. Because these are $400,000 to $500,000 trucks. They're those Badger vac trucks. And they were loving our 4% sales tax.
So what caused all this to come to fruition?
Apparently, so when they give us their paperwork, they gave us like the MSO, which is a pre-title, and it's a printed out invoice that said sold to, from, and this is how much they paid. So that's what we processed all of the sales tax off of. Well, then when they decided, oh, well, we've been giving you our invoice incorrectly, we've been calculating this incorrectly, it was no fault of ours. The information that they gave us was bad. So then when they came back and said, oh, gosh, we gave you wrong information, we're going to need to have you refund us for the last 6 months, I thought, that money's already spent. That's really something that has to be escalated to the Department of Revenue. I mean, I can't give you back your sales tax on an invoice that wasn't correct as far as what our book said. And
so they were trying to get 6 months back, but they weren't trying to carry it to the river.
Right.
They wanted to keep it under Wyoming.
They wanted to keep it under Wyoming.
Kind of,
they have all of their plates, yeah, apportioned through Wyoming.
So this came
because
back
it's cheaper.
Big time.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Because now they're going to have to pay up to 9, 10, 11, 12% in some of these states. Pennsylvania is like 12%. So it bit them hard, which is why they're now going, well, wait a minute, we can't afford for you guys to make us payments because we've got all these other states to take care of. So, I know, what a mess, right?
Well, I guess the question I have is, how does this actually happen? Because I see these Badger trucks running all over. How can this happen? Where is the ball being dropped? And how do we all of a sudden drop again?
Well, at this point, if they do not come into Sublette County, there is not a taxable event, period. I don't care what company it is.
But their trucks are in Sublette County.
There's only like three of them.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
We have agreed, you know, because they were titling them also. So now we won't make a title unless they have a VIN inspection by a Sublette County deputy.
Right.
That means that the
vehicle
is here.
Is actually here. Because this is bad for all of us.
Well, I guess.
Yeah.
How many more of these are out there?
None. I don't believe we have any other companies that we are right now processing anything for that don't actually exist here and actually have their headquarters here. Our biggest one, of course, is Jonah. And probably R&R, but they're here.
And
we know they're here.
Wyoming.
Yeah. Yeah. Whereas Badger, basically, I mean, their only presence here in Sublette County is a little shop in the middle of nowhere and maybe two or three trucks running around the whole county. And they were doing 7-8 a month at least, but none of them were actually coming into Wyoming. So that's part of our checks and balances now, is that if it's a company, especially if it's a company, if they aren't actually here and they can't get a VIN inspection done by our sheriffs here because that vehicle's not here, we are not titling and we are not doing sales tax for them.
So does that mean they've had all these trucks running around in other states with Wyoming plates on them?
Wyoming and portion plates, because they do portion plates on all of them.
Wow.
So that's similar to me going to Rock Springs and buying my vehicle down there, putting a County 4 plate on it, coming back here to live with it. Mm-hmm. Or vice versa, because there's a lot of that goes on.
Oh, there is a lot of that goes on. Because by statute, you can register in any county you want to, because the registration is the same in every county. Mm-hmm. But the sales tax is different. So when you buy a vehicle in Campbell County, they're going to ask you what your residence is, where your residence is, and it's 6 months plus 1 day. So if you have a cabin up on the rim, but you only go 3 months in the summer, that is not a residence. You really cannot pay 4% sales tax there because you don't live there 6 months plus 1 day. You will pay sublet county sales tax only if you live here 6 months plus 1 day. Or register to vote. If you're registered to vote here, that's another qualifier. So we have a lot of snowbirds.
So whether we pay this in installments or lump sum is not going to impact Badger because the state's paying it back anyway.
The state has to pay it back.
And they're paying it back.
And we will be paying back the state.
So whether we, all we're doing is slowing down the state, what we owe the state.
So the question is, you made the comment, Mr. Chairman, you're going to pay it all. What would you like to do?
Gosh.
What if the reserve account has 1.2, pay that, and then when we do a budget adjustment, we can pay the rest after that?
Would it be easier for your office to pay it all at once, and then we're done?
You know, it really can happen either way.
Okay.
We can make it happen.
Carrie, where'd you say this money could come from?
We have a reserve account set aside when we have to pay back taxes.
And that account has this much in it?
Not much, 1.2, not 1.6.
So we kind of go play poker to get the rest of it.
Yeah, well, we'll have to do a budget
budget transfer.
Yeah, I understand that.
Because initially, Mr. Chairman, when we were talking about budget stuff, at that point, Badger had said, okay, we can take payments. So that was what we were prepared to do, was make payments to them over a period of 5 years.
But it doesn't matter, correct me if I'm wrong, what you said, it doesn't matter whether Badger can take payments or not. The state's the one that's made that decision.
Right.
They're paying them.
The state, they're paying them.
So, Mr. Chairman, I guess, question for Carrie, do you think it would work if we contacted the state and said, our intent is, when we do our next routine budget transfer, to just pay it, be done with it?
Can do that too.
Would the state be agreeable to that, do you think?
We can pay it and then do the budget transfer.
Sure you can.
Yeah, later.
Yeah.
Just can't end up at the end of the year with it like that.
Oh, okay.
When we have a budget transfer, we can take $400,000 and balance it out. We can't overspend.
Let's just pay it, be done with it, in my view.
That's what I think.
If we can take care of the transfer later, yeah, I'm all for it.
But we'll be doing a budget transfer regardless.
We talk about it every meeting.
Well, so we generally do a budget transfer a couple times.
About 3 times.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, do we need a motion on this?
Go ahead and make it clearer.
Mr. Chairman, I move we pay the state revenue the amount that the treasurer has put forward. In one fell swoop.
Okay. And Emily, that's
$1,621,000.
$6,24,34. Second. Any further discussion? If not, motion's been made. Call and vote. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. So that's what we'll do.
Okay. All right, the next thing I'd like to talk to you about is tax liens. Roxanna never did tax liens for mineral production or personal property. However, that is something that I would like to consider doing. We have a couple of companies, one of them in particular, Black Diamond Energy of Delaware. We have a long, sordid history with these folks. If you had looked through the email, There was a settlement agreement that was done with them back in 2012 regarding personal property taxes, so equipment taxes for them, and we gave them back basically $18,343.56. So we removed that amount of tax due. I also sent you copies of all of the receipts, the property tax receipts, that showed where those monies were removed. In the meantime, they have continued to pay their personal property taxes every year. That's not a problem. What's a problem is that they haven't paid their severance tax, their ad valorem taxes, since 2006 or 2007. We're at the point now, it's 2019. After 10 years, they have to be removed from the tax roll. So up to 2009 needs to be removed from the tax roll for non-payment. When I finally got a hold of these folks, I think I've got an email here, and I think you guys got copies of the email, but if I can just read it real quick. His name is Eric Koval, and he says, Black Diamond Energy of Delaware owes no business personal property tax. Please provide confirmation that the two attached cashier's checks were properly applied to the personal property tax bill of 2018, which it was. A check of the records of Sublette County should show that we settled the tax debt in 2013 and 14.
Hey, Emily, can I see that real quick?
Yeah. On advice of their counsel, they were told not to pay their ad valorem production taxes. I docked to the Department of, what's it called? The Attorney General's Office and the Ad Valorem Tax Department. They have not paid their severance tax to the state of Wyoming since 2006. So they have also placed a lien at the state level against these folks for non-payment of their severance taxes. And it doesn't sound like they intend to pay any of their severance taxes. They continue to pull out of Sublette County, and they are not paying those state-assessed taxes. I would like to place a lien against them at our county level and at the state level to try to recover anything that we can from these folks before I start removing their stuff from the tax roll.
What do they have here that we can put a lien against?
They don't. All they have is a well. So even if we were to go to this well that apparently is up in the mountains behind Big Piney in the middle of nowhere and put a padlock on it, there's nothing saying they couldn't come the next day and have somebody cut the lock and just keep going.
So this is a producing well.
It is a producing well.
They're selling gas.
Yep.
And they're not paying either their severance tax or their ad valorem tax.
Absolutely. Yep. And they don't feel like they should have to because they don't trust Sublette County and they don't think we applied their taxes correctly years ago.
How are they? What's their argument against paying severance tax to the state?
Again, they don't feel like they owe our state anything and they just continue to make money off of us.
So, could we get help maybe from the AG's office to
that is what I'm hoping
facility down? And
also, because the stuff went through a lawsuit years ago, whatever happened in the past can't be brought up again. But the stuff going forward, we could do district court and bring a claim against them in district court to try to recover severance taxes.
We're making a deal.
Absolutely.
Because at this point, they owe the county of Sublette $174,000. No payment in sight.
So my question still remains, how does it go on and on and on before somebody's
I mean,
you know, Roxanne, I mean, lots of attempts.
A couple of months from now, right? I've got somebody knocking on my door.
And I think this comes down to legislature making it harder on gas companies that don't pay their taxes. You know, she, I think it was 16 and 17 or 17 and 18, she had a tax, she attempted to get through a tax collection agency, but it was unsuccessful. And unless you can actually go to the well and stop it from producing to get their attention, I don't know that there's, aside from the Attorney General's office, I don't know that there's really much we can do.
So you said you have talked, or you're in the process of talking to the AG's office to, okay, good.
And I've got lien paperwork filled out. I just need to, the trouble is getting the legal description. Some of these wells, their legal description is many, many, many pages long. And in order to file the lien, you have to have the legal description. Janessa was out last week, so I was not able to get those from the assessor's office, so I'm working on that. But in the meantime, I don't know if district court is an option. We can move forward that way, but they are not going to pay anything per their counsel.
So is this well producing, it's going through the line, going somewhere?
And according to the Attorney General's office, they actually talked to some of the buyers and tried to put, you know, pressure on them a little bit. And the buyers that were buying gas from these folks are like, you can't do that.
What about the ones transporting at the pipeline?
I don't know. Whatever option we could use, I would like to use it to try to get the taxes from these folks.
Mr. Chairman, I guess my suggestion is that you work with Mike and the Attorney General's office to see, explore the options of
everything
how
we can do.
Shut them down until, as a means to force them to pay their back taxes.
Yes.
Whether you go through district court or whatever you can do, put a lien on them.
Okay. Okay, the next item. I would like to, and Roxanna never did one, but I would like to talk to you guys about doing a restraint sale for mobile homes that are delinquent for property taxes. Because they cannot go through the tax sale, they're not really considered real property, they are personal property, and a lot of the taxes are $25. I mean, it's not a lot of money. With a distraint sale, I've talked to Converse County, who does hold a distraint sale every 3 years, and it's similar to the real property sale as far as taxes go. You have to advertise it in the paper for 3 weeks. You have to put something on the property that says this is going to go through the distraint sale. And then you actually go to the property on that distraint sale day, and the highest bidder who takes care of the property taxes then is the owner of that mobile home.
Ooh.
Yeah.
How many of these do you have?
I think right now I've only got one that's older than 2017 taxes. There's only one. I've got five, I think, that are actually from 2018. So five for 2018 going into 2019. I've put notes on all of the records, vehicle registration records, so that if they come in to do their registration for their vehicles, they can't do it without paying for their property taxes. But if they don't pay, I will have six. I've already talked to Billy, and he said that is not a problem for him to pick up and move the trailer if it does not sell, and they can do it without cost. It's $25 for a moving permit from the state of Wyoming DOT to move it from point A to point B, and then they can take it to the landfill, strip them down for all the metal, and recycle them. Because some of them are not livable. Some of them are not in good shape, but some of them are.
The question came up when we were talking about this before. The trailer actually belongs or is going to belong to the county, but the property underneath
right.
the trailer belongs to
the mobile home park.
The mobile home park. And I guess, do we have the authority to go onto that private property to pick that trailer up?
Yes.
Okay.
So, seems to me like we're going to clean up a lot of trailers if they're uninhabitable. So we're taking on the burden of, they didn't pay the taxes. Yeah.
But But I would think someone would come there that wanted to scrap them out, mm-hmm. or if they weren't that bad, they were livable.
Right, they could rent them out.
Rent them
I know
out,
we've
whatever.
Had some people that actually live in the mobile home parks who have asked about them because they want either a second residence for a family member or something, or they want a rental.
If they're livable.
If they're livable. And like I said, some of them are, but some of them are not.
Who makes that determination?
We will go and take a look, and then the assessor's office will take a look as well. And honestly, if they've got like the flooring and the walls torn out and exposed plumbing and stuff, more than likely they're no longer viable. But, I mean, somebody with enough skill, they could make anything livable, I suppose.
Mr. Chairman, this sounds like we're going back to the nuisance ordinance.
A little bit, yes.
Do these tend to be in one area?
Yes.
Okay.
My hope is that just by threatening, they'll take care of it and we won't have an issue. But I know that there's at least two that are abandoned and I'm sure nobody will want them. So
I wonder if we can come close to getting enough out of them, recycling them, to even pay the expense of dragging them off.
Right.
I guess we'll find that out when they get there.
So and then at that point,
someone has to clean up the mess. Somebody lets it deteriorate at that point.
So, anyways, if you are against the strength sales, I will honor your wishes. But that is one thing I'm looking at possibly doing. It probably won't happen every year, probably every couple of years, 2 years or so.
I think what you're doing is valid, but it does turn us back to just being the cleanup person.
I know.
That's what we're that's what we're taking on as a cleanup. There's no.
Well, it needs to be done.
Especially because they continue to accrue taxes every year for people who will not pay them, for a house that's not livable. No, I don't know.
So the taxes just add up year after
year. Year after
year.
Year.
Abandoned trailer sitting out there that needs to be hauled in the dump.
That needs to clean up the tax rolls. I don't have a problem with you doing
that. I sure don't either.
Okay. All right. I think that moves me into the section I would like to talk to you about in executive session.
Okay. Let's stop a second. We've been going along pretty well. Do you mind if we give a chance for public comment?
Absolutely. Yes.
Because I think we've had some people
here
that would. Let's open it up to public comment if you would like to. Say something, please.
That would be me.
Yes.
Am I public? Actually, sorry, I haven't come to your meetings before, but I was working. No, I got time. I actually came down pretty much with one question, but I've gotten a couple.
Could you tell us who you are, please?
Jean Hayward, I'm sorry.
Okay, just for the record, thank you, Jean.
I've been out of town, so I kind of missed some stuff, and I just want to clarify this in my mind. And I want to start with, I think Sublette County has needed an HR person for a long time, so good job. Was there a range on that salary?
Yes, as advertised, yes.
Yeah, I've been out of town. Can you tell me what that was?
The range was 80 to 95,000. But it was for two positions. It was for a county administrator / HR generalist. It wasn't just HR.
Okay. And you filled it at the top wage?
Yes.
Did it start it out?
Well, the range was for the starting range. The range to be considered was 80 to 95 thousand, and that was dependent upon experience, job duties, whatever. That we, yes, and we made a decision to start it at the 95 thousand. Yes.
So, I just want to get this straight in my head. So someone comes in to work for the county and they have good credentials and experience at different things, they can be hired in at the top wage?
Sure, anytime you list a range, a salary range, that's, and that is for the starting salary, it can be from the highest to the lowest to some point in between.
Oh, good to know.
Yeah.
Yes, and I'm just saying my experience has always been they start them toward the bottom and then they work up to the top.
Well, I think we're maybe talking about different things in terms of salary scales. You know, if I'm going to use teachers for an example. If you have a teacher that's coming in, we have a base sale of our base salary scale for the teacher. And then dependent upon how many years experience they've had, how much movement they've had in terms of their education, continuing education, so on, you're allowed to increase it. But I think in this position, our intent was in advertising it, it would, the lowest we would have offered was 80 and the highest we would have offered was 95.
Okay. And just something I heard today, we're paying a coach for this position also?
No.
Or someone to coach?
No. That's, I coach might have been, I don't say inappropriate term. We have a contract with an HR consultant manager that we entered into that contract to list the position, to review the applicants, to develop the job descriptions, and that person is still going to be in place until we get the HR program off the ground, if you will, because we some of the more considerable things that we had to do from the very beginning is develop job descriptions, develop evaluation processes, to develop uniform application process. And once that gets established, that person, if no longer needed, will not be used. It's a consultant basis. Okay. And that would have been, that was in place for whomever we would have selected, because the intent was we need to get this not only up and going, we need to get it set up correctly. And so we were drawing on somebody that has a master's degree in human resources to help us do that.
And what are we paying them?
$50 an hour.
And then I just was kind of surprised, but it's a question in my mind. Does this position require the HR person to be at the commissioner's meeting every day? Or every meeting?
It's not required, but it's going to be requested. It's not a requirement, but I think in terms of, and there again, we're talking about two positions. If it were just HR, would that individual be as likely to have to come to the commissioner's meeting? I wouldn't think so, but this position is a combined position as county administrator, and that individual as such, I would think that we would want at the commissioner meeting to answer any questions we may have, to give us reports on various duties that they may have performed, or to even answer questions from the public like yourself that may relate to day-to-day activities of the county that they may be involved in.
Okay. I think that's all the questions I have.
Well, thanks, Jean.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Okay. Now, moving on to our agenda, I would consider a motion to go into executive session.
I make a motion to go into executive session for Wyoming State Statute 16-4, 405A, personnel.
Have a motion?
Second.
Second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries.
Gene, thanks for coming.
You're going to see more.
I was going to say, come back, please.